And you'll find a reading in the book of Exodus chapter 15. The book of Exodus chapter 15. We continue on in our series on messages about Moses. And we're at Exodus 15, reading at verse 22 through to the end. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Sur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he cast into the waters were made sweet. Then he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them, and said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." And they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water, and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. We know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his own holy truth for his name's sake. In previous Sundays, we have watched God bringing his people Israel out from the bondage of Egypt by the blood of the Lamb and by the power of his hand. We've watched him bringing them through the Red Sea on dry ground while the waters overwhelmed their enemies. And God, of course, did this under the leadership of Moses and Aaron. Now here in chapter 15, the children of Israel are on redemption ground. They're singing redemption song. They're praising the Lord for all that he has done for them. When you look at the beginning of the chapter, it says, "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea." We find here that as we see that in the page of scripture before us, the children of Israel out of bondage, across the Red Sea, standing on redemption ground, that's exactly where you and I are this morning. My, that's where we are today, because the Lord hath redeemed us by the precious blood of his Son, the Lord Jesus. He has brought us out of Egypt's darkness. He has brought us out of bondage, and we're praising the Lord. We're redeemed this morning, and we're standing on redemption ground. So we're standing in the very same place, spiritually speaking, as the children of Israel were on that day. Verse 22 says, "So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Sur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness." We find here that God is using Moses to lead his people through the wilderness. And of course, we see Moses' great faith there. Remember that he's in that great chapter of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. He's in that great chapter of faith where we have the champions of faith. And remember that when he led the children of Israel out of Egypt, we're talking about somewhere in the region of between 1 and 3 million people. That's just not a big crowd. That's a crowd beyond our total comprehension. And when you think of the numbers that are involved there, and when you think that they're traveling through the wilderness, we think of the needs that the people would have as they traveled through the wilderness. Well, they would need food. And of course, God provided them that when he sent the manna. And they would need water. And I'm sure there were babies born on that journey. And their needs would need to be met. And there would be sickness. And there would be sanitary facilities. And my, one could go on and on and on. And you see the great needs that they had. Someone calculated it. I don't know whether this would be an accurate calculation or not, but someone calculated that for to look after that number of people today, it would take 4,000 tons of food a day to feed them. It would take the equivalent of 2 freight trains, each a mile long, to haul that amount of food. So it's giving you an idea of something of the task that Moses had. You know, he knew that if he followed the northern route, it would not be long until they reached the land of the Philistines, which was near, and where all their needs would be supplied. But he deliberately led them in the southern route. He led them deliberately on the long route, and he did that because that was the way the pillar of cloud guided them. My, God was leading them. The pillar of cloud went before them by day and the pillar of fire by night. And sometimes God leads us in ways we cannot understand. My, God leads us in ways that the human mind ceases to and fails to comprehend. My, you would wonder why they would go the long route when they could have gone a shorter route. But my, God's ways are always the best ways. So Moses here led the people into the wilderness of Sir, and we want to learn from their experiences as they travel here in the wilderness. And I just want to go down this passage this morning, give you a number of little thoughts that have penned in, and I trust that we can learn and apply them to our own hearts. The first thing I want you to see here is the barrenness of the wilderness. The barrenness. They went 3 days into the wilderness and found no water. Without water, there's no life. Water gives us food and refreshment. And without water, things were not going to be easy. You know, when these scientists send these space capsules way to some of these planets like Mars and so on, and they're wanting to find out so much that they can about them, and they get them to bring pieces of rock back. And the thing that these people are looking for is they're looking to see if there's the possibility of water being on any of them planets. Because they know that if there's water there, then there's a possibility of life. And these Israelites might have reasoned that since they followed the cloud and that they were in the will of God, that the road would be easy. But that was not the case. God allowed difficulties to come into their life, to prove them, to strengthen their faith, to draw them closer to him. And God does the same with us. He allows us trials to come into our lives, to test us. And here they are in the wilderness, and we see the barrenness of the wilderness. And then it says this in verse 23, and they came to Marah. They could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it is called Marah. And the second thing you see is the bitterness of Marah. The barrenness of the wilderness and the bitterness of Marah. They could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. For 3 days, there was no water. The first 2 days must have been hard and difficult. And then on the 3rd day, my, Moses urged them to press on, knowing that pools of water lay ahead. And now when they came and they saw these pools of water in the distance, my, they must have sighed with relief. They must have shouted for joy. They probably ran as fast as they could to these waters of Marah, and they took the waters and they began to drink. And as they drunk, what a letdown. Their heart dropped into their boots. The waters of Marah were bitter, and they could not drink. My dear friends, what a disappointment. Wasn't so long since everything was good and sweet and lovely. When they came out of Egypt, they were on redemption ground, they were singing, and now their joys have turned to bitterness. And you know, we all come to the waters of Marah in life. We all taste the bitter experiences that life brings our way. For these Israelites, it was the bitterness of disappointment. And you know, friends, for you this morning or for somebody else, the bitterness of Marah, the waters of Marah, neither the waters and the bitterness of disappointment. Think of that little portion in John 21 when the disciples were waiting on the Lord Jesus. And Peter said, I go a-fishing. And those that were there said, we also go with thee. And the next thing it says is this, and that night they caught nothing. What a disappointment. These men who were experienced fishermen, they go out, but they come back empty. That night they caught nothing. And you know, friends, there's the bitterness of disappointment in life. You may have worked hard for something. You may have studied relentlessly. You may have got your degrees or your A-levels or whatever. You may have had your heart on a job. You've got all the qualifications for it. You send off your application. You provide good references. You've got a good CV and you send it off. And your hopes are pinned on getting that job. And you don't even get considered. You don't even get an interview. It's like coming to the waters of Marah. The bitterness of disappointment. Or a relationship may have fallen through. Or you've looked forward to something happening, something taking place, and it hasn't happened. Things haven't turned out the way you wanted them to turn out, and you've tasted the bitter waters of disappointment. And that's life, the bitter waters of disappointment. And we all know about it. We've all come to the bitter waters of Marah in life. We've all come to the bitter waters of disappointment. There's the bitterness of death or bereavement. Lazarus died. Mary and Martha wept. Loss had come into a family. A loved one had been taken. They were at the bitter waters of death. My dear friends, it comes to all of us. The bitterness of disappointment. The bitterness of death and bereavement. The bitterness of disease and illness. Remember in Isaiah 38, we read of the king Hezekiah, and it says that Hezekiah was sick unto death. And then a message came to Hezekiah. The prophet Isaiah came and he said to him, set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. And Hezekiah got bad news that day. He had a sickness which was going to take his life. He had a sickness that was going to be the end of him. And friends, people all over the town and province and all over the British Isles, they get messages of bad news every day. They may sit in a doctor's surgery. They may sit in a hospital waiting room or in the office of a consultant. And the consultant or the doctor may break bad news to them that they have an illness, they have a sickness which is life-threatening. And my, they're shattered and they're shocked. And it happens to so many. My dear friends, people get bad news about their health every day. Others live in constant pain. And they're at the bitter waters of life. The experiences of life. The bitter waters of disease and illness. Yes. My dear friends, there's the bitterness of division. Division in the family. Breakup of a marriage is a bitter experience. I sat between a young couple many years ago who had only been married 18 months. I sat in the middle and he sat there and she sat there. And my, they had me there to write down as they divided up their belongings. And before that week was out, the house was put up for sale. Oh, dear friends, it's the bitter waters of life. It's like the bitter waters of Mara. Division in the family. Division of friends. You remember how that Paul and Barnabas went out on their first missionary journey. And how God used them and blessed them. And people were saved and churches were built. And the work of God was going forward. And then they come back and brought the report to the church. And when they were about to go out on their second missionary journey, because of a young man called John Mark that Barnabas wanted to take and Paul didn't want to take, there was division among them and they departed asunder. Division in the fellowship. One of the things that the devil tries to bring in to the church is division among God's people. And we read of churches in the New Testament where there was division. In Corinth, it was caused by cliques within the church. There was cliques. In Philippi, it was caused by two believers who were at odds, the one with the other. And we read of another man in John's epistle who wanted to have the preeminence. And bitterness and division can be a very harmful experience for any church. Friends, these are the experiences of life. The experiences of life. The bitterness of disappointment. The bitterness of death and bereavement. The bitterness of disease and illness. The bitterness of division. The bitterness of defeat. Being defeated each day by the world, the flesh, and the devil. The bitterness of deception, being let down by someone. It's a terrible thing when someone lets you down badly. The bitterness of discouragement. My two on the Emmaus Road were discouraged. And many of God's people today across the province, my dear friends, they're discouraged. They're depressed. They're downcast. They're disillusioned. Maybe that's how you feel this morning. They're discouraged and they're disillusioned with life in general. They're discouraged and disillusioned with the political situation. And they're discouraged and disillusioned with even life in the church. These are some of the bitter experiences we have to taste sometimes in life. And there's times when we taste of the waters that life pours out for us. And they're hard to swallow. They're hard to swallow. You see, the barrenness of the wilderness and the bitterness of Mara. Verse 24, it says, and the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? The people murmured against Moses. I've called that the blame of the people. The blame of the people. Now they're the same people who were praising the Lord a few days ago. At the beginning of the chapter, they were on redemption ground, they were praising the Lord, and now they're murmuring against the servant of God. They were brought out of the bondage of Egypt, they were singing, but when things got a bit difficult in the wilderness, now they're slagging off Moses. My people, a whole lot of people's expert at slagging off people. Slagging off the servants of God. People are quick to change. Quick to forget. I'm sure there was a time when they thought Moses was a great fellow. Well, he had been responsible. God had given him this responsibility and he had led them out of Egypt and they thought he was a great fellow, but now they're murmuring against him. And I'll tell you this, things haven't changed any today. Because people are still as quick to blame. And quick to slag people off today. Before you slag people off, ask yourself, what am I doing in the Lord's work? What contribution have I made in the past 6 months or 12 months? Says in verse 25, and he cried unto the Lord. And we see the beauty of Moses, I've called it, the beauty of Moses. My, we saw his faith in God as he led the people through the wilderness. He could have gone by the short way and the easy way, but he followed the cloud. He was obedient to the leading of the Lord. His faith helped him to follow. His faith made him turn to the Lord in the midst of this criticism. And when he came to the waters of disappointment, the people turned against him. And when they turned against him, he turned to the Lord. My, his faith helped him to trust the Lord. He didn't give up. Didn't throw it all in the air. He cried to the Lord. It's so easy to give up when the going gets tough. It's then we need to cry to God and go on. We see the barrenness of the wilderness and the bitterness of the waters of Marah and the blame of the people and the beauty of Moses. And then it says this again in verse 25, and he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. And when he cast into the waters, when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. And that's the blessing of the tree. The blessing of the tree. The Lord showed him a tree. And when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. The bitter place was made sweet. It was through the tree being thrown into the waters were made sweet. The tree, when it was brought and put into the waters, into the situation of Marah, that these waters that were bitter, they became sweet. They became sweet. What does that tell us this morning? Just simply tells us this, that the tree here speaks to us of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Reminds me of the cross. And even though the bitter waters were a bad experience, at first they were used to draw people closer to the Lord. And this tree is a reminder to us of the cross of Calvary. Because sometimes in the scriptures, when we read about the cross, it's referred to as the tree. As the tree. Who his own self bare our sins in his body on the tree. Peter's referring to the cross. He's using the word tree because it was made from a tree. It was made from a tree. And you know, friends, as we go through life and taste the experiences of life, so sometimes they're bitter experiences. But when we bring the cross in, when we bring the tree in, They can be made sweet. You see, all that we have this morning, all that we are, and all that we ever hope to be, it all is related to all that Christ accomplished for us on the tree. Because on the tree we see the proof of God's love. On the tree we see the pain of God's Son dying for our sins. We see the price that was paid for sin in the shedding of his blood. We see the performance of the sacrifice, that it was a sacrifice that only needed to be offered once. It was sufficient. We see the provision of salvation. And as we gather here this morning as the people of God, remember this, that we have redemption through the cross. We have forgiveness of sins because of the work that the Savior did on the tree. We have peace, we have joy, we have hope, we have the assurance of heaven, we have the glorious prospect of knowing that through the cross it was the eternal purpose of God that we would conform to the image of his Son and that we would be presented in a coming day faultless before the throne of God. No wonder Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friends, we are the children of God whom God loves and cares for and in wisdom are fitting out for glory. And we travel through this wilderness of life, this barren wilderness. God allows us to experience the bitter experiences of life, to make us more like his Son. But when you bring the cross into the bitter experiences of life, when you bring the cross in, it makes the bitter experiences sweet. Takes away the bitterness. Takes away the bitterness. And disappointment. The hymn says, he is not a disappointment. He is everything to me. And death and bereavement, when a loved one dies, there's sorrow and rightly so. But if that man or woman is a believer in Christ, then the cross takes away the sting and the bitterness, because we know that they've gone to be with the Lord, which is far better. And sickness and in suffering, what a difference it means. What a difference it is when you know Christ as your Savior and you know that he's watching over you and he cares for you and he's working all things together for good. Paul penned those great and mighty words over in the letter to the Romans and chapter 8, that great chapter 8. There's so many great verses in it, but in verses 17 and 18 we read this. It says, and if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we shall also be glorified together. See what we have this morning, where the children of God, heirs of God and joint heirs. And then he says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Dear friends, we see in the cross, the tree, the great consolation. I don't know what kind of suffering or what experiences of life you're going through, at this particular time, but I know this, it's not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. And then we come down to the last verse, and it says this. This is a great verse. It says, and they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water, and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. And I've called that the benevolence of the Lord. Yes, they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water and where there were 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the water. You know, friends, blessing always follows testing. Yes, my, when they came to Elim, there were 12 wells of water. You know, there was refreshment there. God provided refreshment. And 70 palm trees. And my, they rested there. They encamped there under the palm trees by the waters. There was not only refreshment there, but there was rest there. They encamped there. They'd had a hard journey. The going had been difficult and hard. And so many things had happened that come to the bitter waters. But now God had brought them to this place, this oasis in the wilderness, where there was refreshment and where there was rest for them. And dear friends, let me just finish by saying this morning. Thank God there are more Elims in life than there are Maras. There's more Elims in life than there are Maras. The Lord brought them through. And he brought them to this place of refreshment and shade where they rested from the burden and the heat of the day. Maybe you're at the waters of Mara this morning. Maybe you're experiencing some of the bitter experiences of life. We're just after singing that great hymn. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. My dear friends, God, may he bring you to Elim, the place of refreshment and the place where you can rest your soul. May you bring and cast the tree into whatever experience you're going through. May you bring the cross and the Savior. May he be before you. And may the bitterness become sweet as the Lord watches over you throughout another for his name's sake today. Amen. Father, we leave ourselves with thee this morning. We thank you even as we pass through at times the bitter experiences of life, that thou art always there. And we thank you that we can find refreshment and rest for our souls in thee. We pray that you'll bless those who leave us now. Remember those who wait around this table. May thy blessing be on all such, for Christ's sake. Amen.